Blog Talk Radio.
Mother, do you think they'll drop the bomb? Mother, do you think they'll like this song? Do you think they'll try to break my balls?
Mama's gonna keep baby healthy and clean.
so high.
And welcome to Resistance Radio. My name is Joseph. Thursday, I'm on the table with Virgil. I guess Virgil is here with me. And welcome to training.
And
welcome to the story. You're telling it from me.
But
we have things come in and all of that. So we'll get show the road. Hello, guys. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. You breaking up bad, though. Real bad.
Yes, you are, Joseph. Yeah, you're breaking up horribly there, brother. Bad, like every fifth word or so we're getting over here on our end.
I keep telling you to use the heavy duty Reynolds wrap. Quit getting the cheap shit.
This impeachment going on.
Well, it's not going to gain. I don't think it's going to really gain any strength whatsoever, because you have Paul Ryan sitting there in leadership, and he came right out and said that he doesn't think there was any sedition, crimes and misdemeanors against the American people. So he's taking your usual establishment stance on it. Of course, Jeff Sessions came out again saying what a great guy that Rosenstein is, and that the Congress needs to concentrate on important stuff like immigration. So we're back right where we were and stuff. And then you had Congressman Nunes coming out and said that the redacted stuff, I guess they got to see what it was, and he goes, it's really, really bad. So
I was kind of worried about that. They're sitting on, but they got it in. And so they. And, I don't know. It's just things, the way things are going. I don't know. I don't think either at this point. You know, and Berger, what do you think?
I think it's all just bullshit. Sessions just seems like he's scared to do his job. And that's why I think President Trump's fixing to get rid of him. I think President Trump is gonna start listening to people griping, and I think he's gonna give him his walking papers very shortly.
I sincerely hope so, Virgil. I do sincerely hope so, because I think the man is just as dirty as the rest of the establishment. He's definitely shown his true colors. He has no interest at all in prosecuting the Clintons or anybody involved. I mean, everything from election fraud to Uranium One to the Clinton Foundation, what they did in Haiti, the whole nine yards. I mean, we're talking about a major crime syndicate here, and Jeff Sessions is scared to death. And Hillary Clinton said, well, if they charge me, if I go down, I'm taking half of Washington, D.C. with me. Well, guess which half he falls into, brother. I mean, this has got to the point of being ridiculous. President Trump needs to come straight out and declassify all that stuff. And let's see what's going on. And I tell you what, if we got to jump in our vehicles and go northeast, let's do it, because it's time. This is completely out of hand. We've got a major election coming up, and people are getting tired of it. I mean, they are getting tired of nothing happening. The disgust out there with the whole situation is getting more intense and worse by the day. And with his boy Sessions not doing anything, I think people are going to say, you know what, nothing's going to happen, to hell with it, I'm staying at home. And something's got to happen before the election. It just absolutely has to happen before the election.
I agree with that. Right, I agree with that, because, you know, that's like with, I mean, with everything. You think something would get done, but they're not wanting to lift their finger. And you got to have more suicides come up.
It might be the fact that it just goes so goddamn deep that really they can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's water under the bridge, and it goes so goddamn deep that the money and the power is just there. I mean, the only thing we have. And we got to push President Trump to use it. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. The Patriot Act.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to use the weapons of our enemies to defeat our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it comes down to that.
And you are 100% right on that, Virgil. I mean, we've got a handful of congressmen. I mean, a very small handful fighting their asses off to try to get truth, get the people responsible going on, and they are getting nothing from the Senate, absolutely nothing. They're getting nothing from the leadership in Congress, and yet they expect us to go out there and vote to keep the Democrats out of office. Now, I can assure you, I'm going to go out there and vote. It's going to be a straight Republican ticket. Not because I love the Republicans. I'm about as disgusted with them son of a bitches as a human being can be. But the other alternative is way, way worse and stuff. But what I'm saying is most Americans ain't going to look at it like that. They're going to go, you know what? There is no winning. This is corrupt. We see it all, and nobody's doing nothing, and they're going to go to hell with all of them, and they're not going to show up in November. It is time for President Trump, like Virgil was just saying, to use the NDAA. He needs to declassify this whole damn investigation, the DOJ, the FBI papers, everything they're trying to keep covered up. He needs to declassify all that so the people can see what happened, and then he needs to have Secretary of Defense Mattis step in, a military intervention, and clean house, throw these people in jail, and then we'll figure out how to do the elections and stuff like that after the fact. We may have governors or whatever appoint representatives for the different district until we get to the next election. I don't know exactly how to do that, but something has got to happen. It's beyond time, and the American people aren't going to stand for it, and they are not going to show up in November, and it's going to be very, very ugly. And this thing is escalating more and more by the day. And on top of that, I mean, this kind of round table Thursday or whatever. But then you've got all these red flag laws starting, which is a back door to gun control. And we've got 13 states that have adopted it. And basically all it takes for them to do is say you got a neighbor that doesn't like you. He can go to a judge, a sheriff over there, and go, hey, you know what? This guy's got a lot of guns, and he's a mean person, and I think he's immediate danger. And then you've got to prove that you're not to keep your weapon. They're going to come take your shit until you can prove that you're not. This is back.
Oh, they're doing that now? They're doing that now.
Well, Russell, I have had that done to me so many times. They don't even come to the house anymore. I just get a phone call. Who did you piss off now, Virgil? They don't even come to the house anymore.
And I'm watching a video today where she was visited by a bunch of police officers just for praying in her, she was praying inside of her house. This is here in the United States, and I don't know if you saw that video I posted of it. And they wouldn't tell her why they were there or anything, but after a while, you know, after the harassment and everything, she started praying. They kept telling her to stop praying.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and now you've got all these scholars coming out, mm-hmm. and this is another push from the left, and they're not getting any pushback from anybody, but you've got all these scholars coming out there and saying, you know, pedophilia is okay. It's just a gender thing. Should be accepted. Mm-hmm. You know, in all this, and I mean, it's just absolutely friggin' nuts. And they're running all this stuff mm-hmm. under the cover. And go ahead, Virgil.
I'm going to tell y'all this, and I'm going to go out on a limb. I might have the fucking FBI kicking my door in for saying this. But I can tell you one thing. It's one thing to grab people's hats off their heads and throw cold drinks on them and spit on the hats. It's one thing to take a pickaxe and tear up a monument that you don't like. It's one thing to just harass people and call them names and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But when they go to trying to harm children, to have it made to where a 7-year-old can consent to sex with an adult, brothers, that's when y'all gonna see me on the news. I'm gonna take one for the team.
All right, and I'll be right behind you.
I'm 55 years old. I don't know how much longer I got left. I smoke, I drink. Yeah, I'm overweight, you know, and I've lived a good majority of my life. I've made my share of mistakes. I've had my share of accidents. And I've lived through them, and I've tried to do the best I can to make up for the wrongs that I've done.
Right.
But I can tell you what. When it comes down to children, to babies, they're fucking with the wrong one. They're fucking with the wrong one.
And I have a million and one reasons. And this is demonic. This is all Satanism. This is where Satan comes in. And all this, but you know, I said this many times on the show, and I'm not, you know, and kind of jumps on my face. I killed a pedophile 20 years ago.
Well, I don't think a jury in the United States would convict me. I don't think a jury, especially in the South, would convict me.
I was facing 20 years, but I had every cop in the county, you know, spoke up for me and everything. And the guy was actually a well-known pedophile.
What happened was he broke into my house.
I was babysitting my 12-year-old cousin. And I had her sleeping in my room. I was in the living room. He broke into my bathroom window and tried to rape her. And I heard her screaming. That's this man all day. This man come out wearing a poncho. You know, I grabbed my gun and I shot him once in the back of the head and three times in the back before he hit the door.
Well,
you know,
this brings back memories in the 1980s. And y'all might remember this. It was on national TV.
Mm-hmm.
A guy named Jeff Doucette kidnapped a young boy and took him to California. He was his karate instructor.
Oh, yes.
And the boy's father's name was Jeff Doucette. And when they found out where he was and they extradited him and everything, they was bringing him through the Baton Rouge Metropolitan Airport. And the boy's father turned around when he walked past him and took a .38 snub nose and put it up to his head and blew his fucking brains out on national television.
Yep, and he was also a police officer, too.
He was an ex-police officer. He was a retired police officer.
Yep.
He was on disability. Remember, I know him. I know him quite well. I know him and his wife quite well. But when he went to court, well, they knew they had to do him something. So what they did was they gave him 6 months probation suspended. That's what they did. But, you know, he in the eyes of the law, he was wrong. But in the eyes
right.
of the moral parent, I mean, everybody has said it. I don't care who you are, how liberal you are, how snowflake you are, whatever. Everyone has said that if somebody hurts my child, I'm going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot believe the momentum. And they got people going around giving lectures on this shit, why this shit should be recognized as a sexual orientation. This is not a sexual orientation, not with a 7-year-old child. Sexual
right.
orientation
what they're wanting it for,
is when they're wanting it for,
see, Virgil, they're wanting it for these damn Islamists who are here in our country. So it goes with their share of law. So they
you hit the fucking nail on the head. You hit the
That's
fucking nail on the head.
That's
you hit
what
the
it's
fucking
for.
Nail on the head.
And I
for someone,
you know,
I work with the sheriff's office. I work with the Hibbleville Parish Sheriff's Office from time to time. I'm not going to go into detail about it, but I deal a lot with these detectives that have to deal with these sex crime issues. And they're not supposed to do it, but I've seen photos, I've seen hospital photos and autopsy photos of sexually abused children. There's no such thing as consensual sex with a 7-year-old. And you would not believe the horrible physical damage that a person can do to a female child in a violent sex act. You would not believe it. I mean, it is horrible. It is horrible. And I mean, these children that do survive this are ruined for life. I mean, these children go through years and years, not only of emotional pain, but physical pain from surgeries trying to repair the damage to their private areas that these people did. And I mean this. I mean,
and then
you know they've had to bring 9-year-old girls. They've had to bring 9-year-old girls to Planned Parenthood to get an abortion. 9 years old. Raped by 50-year-old men. I mean, sexually transmitted diseases, AIDS, syphilis, transmitted to these children. And I mean, this is just horrible. This has got to stop before it starts. And I'm telling you right now, 9/11 ain't going to be shit compared to what I'm prepared to do if they legalize that shit.
Right. And I'll be right back because I tell you what, you know, let me tell you, it's like every day here in New Mexico, Virgil, a child killed yesterday. Two parents, these kids, parents should not have kids if they don't want their kids. A little girl was killed yesterday, 5 years old. Brutal.
I I mean, it's just sickening. It's disgusting.
You know.
I mean, you know, why don't we just go ahead and put the laser scan, you know, have prostitutes register, put a laser scan on them, you know, so they can collect sales tax from them, and why don't we go that route? Why don't we go that route?
It's like my friend last night when we were her these grown ass women, they'd go themselves, they have to go out and prostitute their little girl and have them murdered the next day. You know, we had a 7-year-old got hacked to death. We had a 7-year-old.
Well, I'm gonna tell you guys something right now. I try to stop at the major truck stops for several reasons. For one thing, the loves, I get a discount on my fuel there. But every now and then, I got to stop by these fly-by-night mom-and-pop truck stops. And you would not believe. They come up to the truck. They look like they got tombstones in their eyes. 13, 14, 15 years old. I mean, it's just... You know how you can tell the real truck stop lot lizards from the undercover ones? All you got to do is say, "Will you smile for me?" And if they have all their teeth and they're white, that's an undercover officer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Real easy to tell.
You know, but still, yeah, you know, it's bad. I mean, it's bad. And look at this guy in Congress. No pedophile. One run for Congress. That's what makes me...
Yes, that's what I'm saying. This stuff is gaining momentum. If they are willing to come out publicly, mm-hmm. I mean, the most jihadist fucking terrorists in the world ain't that stupid to uncover their face and come out and say, yes, I'm a terrorist. I'm a member of ISIS. I'm a member of mm-hmm. Crimson Jihad or Al-Qaeda or whatever. You know, they're not that stupid unless they have sure proof of protection. And that's what scares me, is that they're coming out, they're showing their faces, and so naturally they have to have protection from somewhere, from somebody to do this. And that is what's terrifying me.
Look at Hollywood, it's the same thing. A story just broke out 3 days ago about Tom Hanks, which I always had a feeling about with him. Did you read that one where 13-year-old, this girl was like 13 and her dad sold her to him? I mean, I had feelings about that, you know?
I mean,
go ahead, Russell.
Well, you see,
go ahead, Russell.
And all this we're talking about right here is all part of the big major plan on how you bring a country down. You destroy the family unit. You destroy the culture. You destroy its history. And that's what we have going on right now. I mean,
well, Russell, I don't see this as just destroying a country. I see this as destroying the world.
Yep.
I see this as destroying the world.
Well, I would agree with you there. I definitely would agree with you there, Virgil, but I'm talking about it on a more local basis and stuff like that. And that is what they've done, and we've talked about this before many times. When they succeeded in taking God out of the schools, that was a big, major victory. And because when they stopped teaching civics, you have all these idiots running around screaming about their rights, but they don't even have any idea what their rights are. They don't know nothing about it. They figure they got a right to do any friggin' thing they want to. And
that's part of the holy order of the double standard. The Constitution is defective when it comes to the conservative right to free speech. The Constitution is defective when it comes to your Second Amendment. The Constitution is defective when you want access to the courts to try and stop something that you believe to be demonic or depraved or just simple perversion. But let a fucking goddamn liberal communist socialist get so much as a goddamn parking ticket, and they'll bring out constitutional laws that you never fucking heard of.
Well, part of the whole thing. The courts have been stacked for decades. And you know what? Those are all lifetime appointments. They have to be impeached. And the corruption runs so deep. And people don't realize half of and probably more than that, I'd be willing to bet you that 8 to 9 tenths out of people don't vote in their local elections. They don't
show up.
They don't vote.
But people like this IRS bitch and Loretta Lynch. Okay, Obama gets up, he makes a speech. He says, "Okay, well, if some people would be willing to give up certain rights, we could get things done, okay?" But they bring these people into a Senate Judiciary Committee to ask questions to them, and what do they do? What do they do? Why didn't they give up their Fifth Amendment rights instead of hide behind them? Loretta Lynch hid behind them 72 times. The IRS bitch hid behind them 27 times. They don't want you to take the Fifth. They want Trump to turn over everything, his tax records, this, that, and the other, everything before he became president, which is none of their goddamn fucking business. It's none of my business. I don't care if he had Stormy Daniels. I don't care if he did her assholes, elbows, and toes. I don't give a shit.
Right.
You know, that was before he became president.
Exactly.
When you ask for Obama's college transcripts, oh no, that's classified. When you ask for his immigration status, that's classified. That's classified. Okay. They want to throw the Constitution up in your face then, but let you throw your constitutional rights up to them. Oh no, you're a Nazi. You're a racist. You're Islamophobic. You're homophobic.
Yep.
You're a misogynist. All of this, we get called all of these names. You know, we get called everything but American.
Well, that's what it is. And this is a prime example, and I've said this over and over and over again. Right now, we do not have a representative republic anymore. We do not. There is a two-tier justice system, and you cannot have that. And these guys from Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell on the Republican side, you can throw John Cornyn in on that shit. He's as establishment as they come. And people keep electing these same idiots and send them back, and they have absolutely gotten rich. The corruption is so thick. That's why.
Hey, guys, you got a caller.
Come on in, caller.
Let me bring the caller in.
Hi.
Hello, caller. How you doing?
How you boys doing tonight?
Oh, we're doing good.
Right,
how you doing?
Look, Trump was...
Oh, Darren.
Here. Yes, Bianchi. Trump was here across the river in Granite City, Illinois today.
Uh-huh.
I didn't live during when the end of World War II, when they had the ticker tapes parades and all that.
Uh-huh.
It was just like that. Can you believe this? People were standing along the route, 3 and 4 people deep along the route. And they are ecstatic with the president down here in southern Illinois because the is reopening.
Well, that's great.
So that was good.
Well, there's a lot of good things happening in Illinois right now, isn't it? I mean, the steel mills are coming back, manufacturing. I mean, are you seeing that, any of that?
Well, it's not only that.
It's right across the river from where I am. And guess what else they have, too? They got two sanctuary counties. You hear me? two sanctuary counties where these where you your Second Amendments are protected. They will not enforce or assist to enforce any of these crazy laws that goes against the Second Amendment. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Not only with that, but the Supreme, the court ruling, the appeal court ruling, saying that you have a right to open carry. I mean, things are looking up, looking a lot better.
Okay. Well, let me
well not only that, Derek. Not only that,
hang
Derek.
On, hang on.
But today, it's gonna. He's finally showing the American people. He realizes, hey, you know, we need workers. We have inexperienced people. So we're going to throw our money instead of toward giving it to colleges to study gay cockroaches. We're gonna start floating money to these community colleges and trade schools, and we're going to get some people that with training and experience, and we're going to put them in the workforce, and we're going to get them off the welfare food stamp rolls, and we're going to see how they like making $900 to $1,500 a week rather than $900 to $1,500 a month.
Right.
You said
that. Let me ask you a question there. Being from Southern Illinois, have you personally seen improvement yourself as to the tax cut or jobs being available?
I stay in Missouri, across from Granite, in the St. Louis area. Actually, I live in Baton Rouge, but I'm from St. Louis, and I'm here right now.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you see, like, every fifth car has got Illinois license plates on them, where they coming over here to get work. I mean, that is, I don't know anybody that's unemployed, unless they just want to be.
Yeah.
And doesn't it make you feel good? Doesn't
it make
you
feel
good to see that?
Yeah. And look at the – look, we got three steel mills in Missouri that's opening up. You got – in Tennessee, you got tire plants that's opening up. You got one in South Carolina that's going to start people off at $56,450 a year with benefits. A steel plant in Indiana, $30.10 they started. Hell
that's
no, it's
not
bad.
No, that's great.
With benefits, you might as well count that as a $110,000 a year job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If you do the math on it.
Hey, but let me tell you this. I was on another show, and the title of the show is about they still haven't reunited families. So I called in, and these gals, they immediately jumped on me when I asked the question. I said, who in the hell is paying to keep these kids here in the United States? It costs, from what I hear, $800 a day. If you got 800 mm-hmm. kids like your program is suggesting, that's damn near $750,000
mm-hmm.
a day.
Yes.
Who's paying for that?
Taxpayers.
We're paying for
it.
Here's our.
And guess what? When they do DNA tests on these adults to see who the hell they are, you got criminal backgrounds coming back, so they don't get the kids anyway. You know what I would do? I would put them all on a plane, ship them back down to Honduras, and let Honduras do the sorting out and ship them a bill at that.
Right. Well, we had that.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Derek,
what you're forgetting about, Derek, is you were talking to liberals, and they couldn't answer that question because they are now under what's called Common Core math. You see, under the liberal, if you were born in 2010. And now it's 2018. You are 18 years old because 10 and 8 add up to 18.
You're right.
Well, that's the way they figure things. And that's why the economy in America stays so fucked up when Democrats are running the show.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was going to say, too, since he brought that up here in New Mexico, we were immigrants from that deportation, whatever it was, the process they were going through and everything, but we all threw such a fit about it because we knew that we're going to have to pay taxes, housing, and everything else. And so they heard us griping about it and everything. They got sent to the airport about at Sun Airport earlier today, about 57 of them, they're being transported somewhere else.
Well, Joseph, I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to tell you guys something. When they start taking care of the over 300,000, over 300,000 homeless veterans, when they get them medical care, when they get them a place to live, when they get them jobs, when they get them establishments, well, then they can fucking take care of whoever they want to in my book. But we have 300,000 and more plus homeless combat veterans that weren't drafted, volunteered, and they're living on the street eating out of garbage cans. I call bullshit.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that
is terrible.
The griping, that's what the griping was about last night and everything on the feed I was on. And it's really agreed that, you know, they got to take care of our vets first. What about them? Screw these homeless people. Screw these.
The topic of this, in one of the discussions in the show that they was giving as an example, this one woman from someplace down in Central America, she was wanting to seek asylum in the U.S. because she was living with an abusive husband. Can you imagine that? How would one of you guys have an argument with your wife? Wake up the next morning, she's nowhere to be found. About a week later, you get a telegram, she's down in Argentina.
Right. Okay. Well. Maybe they should stick her with some of them NFL players, and maybe they should carry her ass back.
Yeah.
Right. Let her get bitch slapped around in the elevator by a wide receiver, and then maybe she'll carry her ass back.
Or drug down the stairs by her hair.
Yeah.
Yep. I never seen such most ridiculous stuff in all my life, Phyllis. I mean, just about time you got older and you thought you seen it all, here comes some more of this crap like this. It is just amazing.
As Marines, me and Russell can honestly tell you, we've been to two world fairs and a goat fucking, but we ain't never seen no shit like this.
Well, Derek, here's a story broke out about 3 days ago here in New Mexico. They caught four Muslims trying to sneak in from the other side of Mexico, and I'm about 3 hours away from the border. They caught four of them. And then on top of that, they caught a truckload of immigrants that were sneaking in. The truck turned over because the border patrol was chasing them. They chased them as far as Deming, which is about 45 minutes from here. And there's 200-300 immigrants in the truck.
God damn. Are you sleeping with your gun, with your finger on your trigger, don't you?
Pretty much. This was just a couple of days ago, and they.
You see?
These Muslims were Somalians. They were
during the Clinton administration. There was an 18-wheeler around, I know Russell will remember it, around Refugio, Texas, that came in. It was loaded with immigrants. The driver collected all of his coyote money from them and everything else, parked the truck at a truck stop, and just abandoned it. Left the people locked
that.
In the truck.
Yep.
And it was
I
about 40
that.
Or 50 of them died of heat stroke in that truck. Now, we had a problem with illegal immigration and all of this going on back when Clinton was, all the way back when Clinton, he made his big speech about the borders and everything. Everybody stood up and clapped, nobody sat down during the speech or anything. Everybody clapping their hands for this. But now Trump comes up and he's echoing this in his State of the Union address. He's echoing this throughout throughout his administration that we need better border control. And oh boy, he's genocide. He's racist. He's this. He's that. The holy order of the double standard. Look at Whoopi Goldberg. Look at Whoopi Goldberg. Do you think that we would be hearing such silence right now if Trump used the term, the racial slur, sand nigger, when he was talking about Muslims? But it's okay for Whoopi Goldberg.
You gotta be kidding me.
Pyro, a sand nigger. She called her a sand nigger.
Well, wait a minute.
The woman is Lebanese. The woman is Lebanese. The woman is Lebanese heritage. She comes from the Middle East. Whoopi Goldberg called
that's
her
something.
Trump sand niggers.
You think that's something? Look at the Congressional Black Caucus. Steve Korn is a representative representing the 9th District in Tennessee, to Memphis, Tennessee, to be exact. He's white. He's been elected over and over and over by a majority black population. They love the man. The CBC would not let him join. Guess what? Because he's white. Can you imagine that they get away with that shit?
Oh, well, on the other side of that ticket, he's dead now, passed away and stuff, but you had Robert Byrd elected over and over and over again defendant and fighter for African-American. He ran on that stuff. And he was one of the big KKK guys, man, the Grand Poopah.
He was a Grand Cyclops in the Ku Klux Klan. He was a Grand Cyclops of the Ku Klux Klan. He was close personal friends with David Duke and with Bill Wilkinson. They were both heads of the Louisiana chapter of the Ku Klux Klan in Denham Springs, Louisiana.
And he was friends with the Clintons, too, because there's photographs of him and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton together.
Well, hell, Hugo Black was a Ku Klux Klan member when he went to the Supreme Court, and he was one of the best justices for civil rights.
Yeah.
See, yeah. I'm gonna tell you why I despise the Ku Klux Klan. My grandfather was a logger. Okay, he made a good bit of money supplying the government with lumber during World War II to build barracks and things like this. The majority, 97 to 98% of the men that worked for him were black, poor blacks. Most of them couldn't read or write. But he paid them the same as the other logging companies that had white workers. He paid them the same. That was totally unacceptable back then. That was totally unacceptable. If you paid a white man a dollar a day, oh no, you had to pay a black man 25 to 50 cents, a day or an hour or whatever. However, I forgot how much he was paying them. Plus, every Friday when he got the paychecks, those that had cars, he used to get gasoline in bulk because he was a government contractor, even though gasoline was rationed. Well, he'd let them fill up their car for $5. He'd let them fill up their vehicle for $5 full of gas. He wasn't supposed to do it, but he did it. And boy, they came down on him. They harassed my grandfather, threatened my grandfather, and did all kinds of unimaginable things to him. They're scum of the earth. They're scum of the earth. I have no respect for them. I have no respect for the KKK whatsoever. And because of what they did to pervert the Virginia battle flag, I have no use for them. I have absolutely no use for them.
Well, and I feel the same way about that, too, and that's why I have such a hard time understanding it. You know, to say there is no racism, you're lying to yourself. There's racism on both sides of the equation, and I don't care what kind of legislation it is. You can't pass legislation to fix that. There's going to continue to be stupid people on both sides of the equation and stuff. And see, I judge people on their character and stuff. When I grew up, my dad was building his business, and we spent the majority of our time living with our grandparents. My grandparents were Polish and Czech immigrants. They bought a house, they raised 11 kids and stuff like that, but it was in what was considered the black part of town, all right? And I grew up, we played together, we bellied up to each other's tables to eat. There was absolutely no difference there. Their parents corrected our asses just like our my grandparents corrected those. We were raised together, and there was never any color seen there whatsoever. And that's what irritates me most about it, stuff like that, because most of these people running around with this hate in their heart, I don't think they've ever... I don't even know how to describe it. I've got to just look back. I mean, I don't like it. I don't agree with it. It should be, but you can't legislate stupid away. And you have so many people working to keep us so separated because the one thing...
And they're working hard at it, too. They're working 24-7.
The one thing that they all fear... And we're talking about the deep state and these establishment politicians, both Democrat and Republican. They are absolutely fierce that we will come together and unite as the American people, because the day that happens,
well,
their shit is over.
Well, I can tell you this, Russell. I can tell you this right now. I can tell you this right now. If they keep pushing this pedophile shit, if they keep pushing for this, they're going to see what they don't want to see. They're going to see something they don't want to see. Because I'm going to tell you what, it ain't only white mothers and fathers that care and love their children. There are black mothers and fathers that will tear some ass up behind their kids. And
oh, yeah,
tell
you
this,
got there right.
We are going to be standing black, white, black, white, black, white. We're going to look like a fucking keyboard on a piano, and we're all going to be shooting in the same fucking direction.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Gonna
we
ebony, iron, it's going to be ebony and ivory suppressing gunfire. Believe
yes,
you me.
Well, I'm going
to
say
this. I hate to do this, but we've got to go on a quick break. Everything and we'll be back here in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, and while you on the fucking break, wrap some fuck some more tinfoil around. You're breaking up. We can't understand a fucking word.
You sound like you got an Obama phone, man. You know there was
yeah,
a guy
yeah,
when he got
yeah.
out of office.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, we would have a better chance. We would have a better chance understanding Ann right now than you.
Well, I'm trying to fix it back to where the heavy storm is really heavy right now, and it's just so it could be a lot of that. But we'll be back here in about 10 minutes, and for your callers, if you'd like to call us, remember, it's
8930.
I heard if you stick your tongue in a socket, it helps that a whole lot.
Yep. And if you crank your lawnmower, pee on the spark plug. Crank your lawnmower, piss on the spark plug.
There you go. We got George online. He's there with us, so we'll let him talk a little bit when we get back. So go hang in there. Be back.
Okay. We'll try to break that encryption code you just gave us.
Makes you small, and the ones that living on a piece of grass, walking down the road. Tell me, how long you gonna stay here, Joe? Some people say this town don't look good in snow. You don't care, I know. Venture Highway in the sunshine, where the days are longer, the nights are stronger than moonshine. You're gonna go, I know.
And I say, hey, yeah, yeah. feel still done to get us back. Great big healer of hope for a destination.
I'm hearing somebody.
Hi, Joseph, it's me, it's Johnny.
Hey, Johnny, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Somehow I was listening to the show and then my phone stopped picking it up. I just decided to call in and listen to some.
Oh, no, what happened was they're having some storms there in New Mexico, and Joseph's working hard to get it hooked back up, but it sounds like we're going in the right way there. Yeah, we were off the air for about 15 minutes there, brother. It wasn't your phone.
Okay.
It wasn't your phone and stuff, but...
Joseph had to solder some old coat hangers together.
Yeah, I'm going to go get some room to fall. Put on my phone is right.
Yeah, but... anyway, while we're waiting for Joseph to get back up in here, hey, Virgil, remember Joseph was talking about the prophecy and all that stuff on Tuesday night, you know, about what's going on?
I missed Tuesday night. I had to run this hot load.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were drinking rocket fuel. I mean, hauling rocket fuel. Sorry.
Yeah.
But, anyway, man, while we're waiting for Joseph to get back over here, I wanted to touch on that just a little bit, man, about some of the miracles and stuff that we've seen happen. I mean, that we've seen happen where Israel is concerned or involved with and stuff like that. Of course, we were really young back then. I mean, just barely above being toddlers and stuff, but... the Six-Day War back in 1967, Israel was in a bind. She was under-equipped and going up against the forces from Egypt, Syria, Iraq.
Yeah, 17 countries.
Well, no, it was really four of them, but there was a few others. And the world expected Israel to lose that war, which would mean, in effect, the annihilation of the Jewish state, which everybody was shooting at. Well, anyway, it was a six-day war. Alright, and this is six miracles that are, I mean, you can call them what you want to, but there's no logical explanation for it whatsoever. Israel knew they were in a bind, so in a defensive preemptive strike on June 5th, Israeli Air Force flew over and destroyed one Egyptian military air fleet after another for three straight hours, just blew the shit out of the Egyptian Air Force. And apparently, none of the air bases was communicating between each other. Jordan tried to send them a warning, but Egypt had changed their code and stuff the day before. And that victory was unbelievable unless everybody slack jaws. I mean, you know, proved key to the outcome of the war. And then the second one, you had the Battle of Shechem. Oh, you're back.
I apologize. The storm knocked everything out. There is a caller from 770 area code. So how are you doing?
Yeah. Well, anyway, what I was doing there, we were talking a little bit about Tuesday night. You spoke something about the prophecies and that kind of stuff, what was going on. And I got to looking in some stuff and talking about some of them that cannot be explained in any logical way. You'd have to call them miracles. During the six-day war between Israel and Egypt, Syria, Iraq, and Jordan. Anyway, we just covered the airstrike part of it, and then there was the Battle of Shechem in the West Bank, and Jordan illegally annexed that, and it was expected to be one of the hardest, bloodiest battles. And Israel, instead of coming in from the west where they were looking for them, came in from the east. Arabs there were heavily armed and ready for whatever came at them. But since they rolled in from the east instead of the west, the Arabs let them roll right in to Shechem, thinking they were Iraqi reinforcements. They took the whole city with just easily with minimal resistance. I mean, it was hands down a major victory, which there is no explanation for. Then you had the Golan Heights against the Syrian troops. It's what they called a watershed battle. But as the IDF advanced, the Syrians started throwing down their weapons and fled in chaos, leaving most of their weapons behind. So anyway, after it was all said and done, they talked to some of these Syrians and stuff like that, and they said they'd seen frightening visions there on the battlefield of Abraham, and Abraham supposedly warned them not to harm the Jews. So they literally threw their weapons down and ran away. And of course, within a couple of days after Israel had struck, made the airstrikes in the military plane, inexplicably, Egypt started blowing up or abandoning their other military bases. I mean, no explanation for it. They just started abandoning them and blowing up shit and pulling out. Israel easily took both Sinai and Gaza back with little to no resistance whatsoever. And then there were stories like an IDF truck that was just loaded to the teeth with explosive ammunition that was desperately needed to rearm the Jewish troops was directly hit by a live grenade, all right? So that truck should have went up in one big bang, destroying the facilities and the troops. The grenade landed on top of the truck where it sat until Israel EOD dismantled it and removed it. Number six, pretty much the world forced Israel to accept the ceasefire proposed by King Hussein of Jordan, right? At the last moment, now you got to understand, this was all Hussein, King Hussein's doing, but he nixed the essential terms of the ceasefire that he himself had initialized, and that gave Israel the extra time needed to finish taking out their military infrastructure and just literally handed Jerusalem back to Israel and the Jewish people. Okay, and that was, of course, that was a six-day war there. And then let's not forget about, anybody remember a guy called Idi Amin and Entebbe? They hijacked a plane full of Israeli, took them in there and was holding them hostage, right? That was at the Entebbe airport. And when the IDF came in there with their special forces, now they had people all along those runways. You had people in APCs. They were armed to the teeth. Israel flew in there and landed two aircraft that was never seen by any of these sentries that allowed this operation to go off. So,
Not only aircraft, Russell, two C-130 troop transporters with armored vehicles.
None of the sentries saw or heard him land. You cannot explain that stuff. I mean, there is no rational explanation for that. So don't think for a minute, as Joseph was saying the other night, that God's hand is not on the Jewish people in Israel.
Israeli
athletes.
Yeah. Hello? This is Ida. Hello, call.
Hello. This is Russell.
Hello.
You're breaking up real bad again, Joseph. Very, very badly.
This damn storm.
Virgil, you still there?
Yep. Oh, yeah, I'm still here. I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm still here.
So, what do you think about that?
Well, Israel has, they've come a long way with their military. But even when they were rock bottom, when they were using surplus Sherman tanks left over, you know, from World War II and stuff, they were a hell of a force to be reckoned with, and they're still a hell of a force to be reckoned with. I mean, they've learned a lot, and they've learned from their mistakes, and they are capitalizing on them. I mean, I've got all the respect in the world for them. I mean, the Six-Day War, the Yom Kippur War. I mean,
yeah, that
should have put the coup de grace. That should have put the coup de grace.
Yep. But it didn't happen because you had the Syrian troops saying they had visions over there. That's why they dropped their weapons and ran. You know, I mean, don't think for.
Well, it could have been the hash they were smoking too. But in any case, I know about the Golan Heights. I've been close to the Golan Heights, and let me tell you something. That's some bad bush, brother.
Yes, it is, and stuff. You know, and what people, and, you know, they're so quick to condemn Israel and all that kind of stuff, but people don't realize how small Israel is. They have no buffer zone. I mean, there's no room to give an inch, you know. And when you have those Palestinian stuff show up there and start trouble, I fully support them taking the action they need to protect their borders. And go ahead.
You got to recognize the measure of the Israeli resolve. I mean, these people today are still hunting down Nazi war criminals. I mean, they're not going to give up. They're not going to give up till they find a live body or they find their skeletons. They're not going to give up. They're going to find they've snuck into Venezuela many a time, and they pulled a lot of them out of there. And
but, you know,
they've gone all over the world to find them. Even in the United States, where they thought they were safe. Now George Soros, I don't see how that son of a bitch ain't hanging by a noose in the main square of Tel Aviv. I don't see how he got away with it, and how he's still getting away with it.
Yeah, I figured Mossad would have ended that problem years ago. But that's the fact that you even bring that up, that is a real oddity there itself. You know, that's a very good point. Because Mossad doesn't mess around, Israel doesn't mess around. When the Jewish people said never again, they meant it. It wasn't a war cry.
Oh yeah, well,
they were serious as hell.
Well, this American mm-hmm. inventor, the man that invented and developed and blueprinted and schematic the super gun. Okay, when he went belly up in America, well, Iraq told him, yeah, come on over here. We'll pay you. We'll supply you with a good life. Just show us how to build a super gun. And for anybody that doesn't know what the super gun was, there was one built, but it was quickly dismantled after the first test fire. It can fire a nuclear artillery shell the distance from, say, Washington, D.C. to Wyoming, which if you position this thing right, Saddam Hussein, if he had got it functional, could have fired a nuclear artillery shell from Iraq into Israel. The Israeli Mossad sent agents in to kill this man, and they did it. They did it. They shot him on the front steps of his apartment. They shot him. They shot him in the head and killed him because they did not want Saddam Hussein to get to finish it. They tried to finish it. His top scientists tried to figure it out, but we finally went in there and we destroyed it. They were very close to it. They were very close to completing this thing. This was something that could have been very dangerous and got very serious real quick.
Oh yes, without a doubt. But anyway, I just wanted to touch on that a little bit since it's roundtable night. What are your thoughts on that stuff, Joseph?
I think it's, you know, with history and everything, it's like this thing. What is God's hand? I mean, God's. The Bible says that God says, if you go against Israel, he's going to destroy you. There's no less about it. You know, and I remember when after his he
well, I'll tell you what, Russell,
or something like that,
one incident we're forgetting about. The Munich Olympic Games. Remember that? Remember that?
Yes,
remember
sir.
That fiasco that went down? That was basically right then and there the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And that's when Israel went all out. They went all out. They were going to hunt them down. They didn't care where they were at. They told the world they were going to hunt those people down. And they did it.
Right. And while we're on the... Those people are so good at what they do. You know, Israel don't have all this TSA and Department of Homeland Security and all that. Their security at their airport, they can ask you half a dozen questions and you're either going to get on the flight or you're going to get drug out. They are so very good at what they do, and they do not infringe on their citizens' rights the way we do here. Now, will these hard-headed son of a bitches in D.C. listen and follow a good, solid path that the Israelis have showed us? No, they don't. It has to be another agency, another bureaucracy, and a reason to steal more money from us, the American people. The Israelis got that stuff
That's why the rescue mission for the American hostages failed in Iran. That's why it failed. Because they should have went to the Israelis and said, help us plan this rescue. But no. What do the Americans do? Here's how this went down. I studied this very carefully, and believe you me, it is shocking. You had Air Force pilots, piloting Army and Navy aircraft, carrying United States Army troops in a Marine Corps coordinated operation. Now, Russell, you know that was the recipe from the fuck up before they left the tarmac.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about a grade-A all-American clusterfuck. That was the only way to describe that. And you know what caused that? Everybody wanted to have their hand in the rescue.
Yeah,
they take part.
Right.
It was not who was capable of getting the job done, who could go in there and do it. Everybody had to be able to say they had a hand in part of it. Oh, we are just, you know, it was a multi-service operation.
Absolutely no experience in desert warfare. Absolutely no experience since the campaign in North Africa against Rommel.
Exactly.
And the Israelis, they can land these planes and helicopters in the desert with their eyes closed.
Oh, yeah.
They train every day for it. Every day for it. I mean, there's nothing but sand out there.
Oh, yeah.
But
I know. I'm
look kidding. Who we had for the president. Look who we had for the president.
Now
he's the second worst president we've ever had.
Oh, yeah. I know. He threw a big block party, man. Free booze, free music, everything. When Obama left, because he was no longer the worst president in American history, man, he threw a big old shindig. I wish I could have made it. I could. but you were 100% right. Instead of following example, instead of letting those that are qualified do the job, and we've seen this time and time again. And don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking your infantrymen, whether they be Marine Corps, Army, all that. I'm talking about the top of the list. There was no excuse for Air Force pilots to be flying those aircraft. But like I said, everybody wanted to have their hand in the cookie jar because they all wanted their little piece of what they thought was going to be glory. And that is the kind of piss-poor planning and bureaucratic bullshit that gets people killed time and time again. And it was a complete and total clusterfuck. It was a black eye on the American military, and it was straight up to the piss-poor leadership.
I did go.
It was doomed from the start. It was doomed from the start. It's just like I was saying the other night. Just like I was saying Monday night. We as Americans, this is a great country. I love my country. I'll fight, die for it. But a person is smart. But the majority of American people, including our leadership, they're stupid. They wait for things to get completely out of hand. They wait for the match to turn into a lit match to turn into a forest fire before they want to grab a bucket of water. I mean, and that has been our whole problem from the get-go.
And you are dead on 100% correct, Virgil. I'm telling you, and that's why they are so hateful towards President Trump and the establishment, along with the Democrats and the deep state, are trying to destroy him in this coup against him, is because he's coming out there and he's got more done in less than 2 years than the last friggin' 25-30 years have even got done, and he's showing them up for how stupid they are and exactly how little they care about the American people and how they've sold our American economy and everything down the river for their own personal wealth. I mean, it couldn't be
more obvious than what
we're seeing right now. And that is why
all of this started with George Bush Sr. with his New World Order bullshit. And it escalated more when we elected his son, George Bush Jr. But we really didn't elect George Bush Jr. We elected fucking Dick Cheney and Halliburton to run the fucking country.
Oh, yeah, man. I could tell you stories about that shit. Did you know these were no-bid contracts in Iraq and Afghanistan because there was nobody else there that can handle that scope of deal. They were charging you and me, the American people, $100. Now, they wouldn't let the soldiers do their own laundry and stuff.
Oh, no.
They were charging us $100 a bag to do laundry. And, I mean, it's just little example.
And the American people hear about that, and then they start raising hell. But years before that, a Senate Sub-Finance Committee showed where they were showing on the books that they were paying $30,000 for a toilet seat and $20,000 for a fucking hammer. Do you know that the United States government, the Department of Defense, pays $7,000 to the Mr. Coffee Corporation that they designed and built coffee machines to go on the B-52 bombers and the AWACS aircraft? $7,000 for these coffee pots. Okay? If the plane all of a sudden gets hit and depressurizes and kills everybody, pilot, co-pilot, bombardier, operator, radio man, everybody, the fucking thing will make coffee. If the plane is hit by a heat-seeking missile and crashes, the fucking thing will make coffee.
Literally,
I have seen these coffee machines. I mean, they're made with the same consistency as a fucking atomic warhead. I mean, I've seen them at Clark's Air Force Base when I was in the Philippines in the Marines. Because we flew back to the States. Me and three of my buddies, we flew back to the States on a B-52 when we went on leave, on our 30-day leave. But, and I mean, it's just the way to go. And you know people are getting kickbacks off of this. You know they're getting kickbacks. Look at the Bradley fighting vehicle. $4 billion. $4 billion to build an APC with a 20-millimeter cannon on it.
$4 billion. Oh, yeah.
It,
what it is, they get these contracts, and then they always run over budget. They run over this and that,
well,
add on to the stuff, and everybody just rubber stamps that stuff. And this has gone on.
And this is the punchline to the joke on the Bradley fighting vehicle, okay? They claim this thing was so state-of-the-art, so sophisticated, so good. They sent a couple of hundred of these things over to Israel. Guess what Israel done with them?
Sent them back.
They had to take them apart and redesign them. Redesign the Bradley fighting vehicle because their test showed that it was nothing but a total death trap. It was a death trap. They wouldn't even think about using it in combat.
Oh yeah, I mean it goes on. I mean that takes us right back. And isn't it just amazing how on 9/11 they claimed it was a plane. We all know it wasn't a plane. That it was definitely had to be a missile strike that hit the Pentagon. It happened to hit right in there where it destroyed all the records right about the same time.
Oh yeah,
$6 trillion came up missing out of the military budget.
Yes,
over the years, you know.
Yeah,
it's just. I mean, I don't even know what to do with all this anymore, Virgil, and you can't get anybody to stand up or do anything.
I mean, you can't, you know.
It's just the way it is, and we have absolutely got to stand up, and I mean, please, President Trump, please, please, sir.
I mean, we are the only nation in the world. We are the only nation in the world that sent troops into combat with rifles that got them killed. We actually helped kill our own troops with a defective rifle. Which 40% of the parts on the fucking thing were made by Mattel Toy Company.
Well, and not only that, but we're talking about the original M16 before they came out with the A1. But, yeah, and how in the hell do you send a weapon into combat that doesn't even have a cleaning kit? There was nothing there to clean your weapon with. You remember
no.
that?
The original no, there was M16. Nothing. No,
yeah. They're getting dirty. Shit, maybe we should put a cleaning kit in them. That'll make the big difference. But I'm guaranteed there's no telling how many hundreds, possibly thousands of American troops died in Vietnam when they brought the original M16 in. It was a friggin', like you were saying, Virgil, it was a friggin' piece of junk.
It was a disaster. It was worse than the French machine guns they designed during World War I. I mean you're talking about back then state of the art, you know, rifle technology, and these people took down these troops, and a lot of people think the AK-47 was the main battle rifle for the North Vietnamese troops. No, it was not. The AK-47 didn't come into play till right around 68-69. We're talking about 65, 66, 67. These people were using SKS rifles, Mosin rifles, and weapons left over from World War II, Tommy guns, BARs, M1 carbines, 30 caliber Garand rifles. I mean, these troops, and they went against a state-of-the-art rifle that was supposed to be oh so perfect. And Most of them that were found dead, they were found dead with a jammed up rifle.
Yep. Yep, without a doubt. Oh, well, anyway, I guess we're going to have to carry this over. Joseph said it's time to roll this thing up, so...
Yeah, I'm getting a little tired. I got to go to bed.
I'll come back. I'll just talk about whatever and everything. Morning out, and I didn't... I was just reading it now. Somebody took some pictures. I'll send that to you, Virgil. It's a tornado just flew by over our house. So
what's that now, Joseph?
And didn't even know we
can't.
Can you make out what he's saying, Russell? I can't.
No. We're getting about every.
Anyway, we're going to.
We're going to
go ahead
and we'll see you guys
have a good one.
Good night, America.
All right. Good night, Johnny.